Welcome back to Compliments to the Chef. I'm your host, Nancy.
And I'm your host, Bits.
And we have an incredible second helping today with, dare I say, fan favorite of the season. But I feel like maybe I'm skipping ahead of myself because you know him better by some of his incredible accomplishments, most notably, at least on the show, we have former sous chef at The Nomad, but also former chef from 11 Madison Park, which, like, oh my God. We have 2017 Team USA Bocuse d'Or gold medalist, first ever gold medal, chef de cuisine at Press Restaurant, Top Chef, season 22, contestant, Vincenzo Lissetto. Welcome to the pod.
Thanks for having me. Super excited.
We are thrilled to have you.
We are so jazzed that you're here. It's interesting because we get kind of excited when people get eliminated because then we get to talk to them.
Thanks. We don't appreciate that, guys.
We are preying on your downfall, is what we're saying.
I mean, somebody told me that you guys made a call and you're like, hey, like, we're really dying to talk to Vinny. Like, can you just, like, knock him out this next one and expedite this whole process?
We know a guy.
Yeah, we actually interviewed the executive producer earlier and we were like, if you could.
Yeah. First question.
Yeah, I see what's going on here.
Oh my God. Well, okay. Vinny, like, where to begin on this run of Top Chef? We want to chat a little bit about the show. Obviously, we want to hear about you, the chef, the man. But the first place we would love to start is with Apple Bowl, because we had, like, a really fun time talking about Apple Bowl on this podcast, that first episode. Is this the first time you've ever made something, a bowl out of an apple? Was this from studied practice?
So no, I typically...
Shut up.
I figured this was coming. What? I upgraded from apple bowls to apple mugs, and that's what I drink my beverages out nowadays.
Okay, for those who cannot see, because this is a podcast, and if you can see, then there's something up. Vinny just yoinked out a full apple mug. I don't know, apple drink.
With a straw.
With a straw. I've never seen that not as a coconut. Oh my God. Does it impart flavor into the liquid?
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm drinking.
Wait, what are you drinking out of it?
A peach San Pellegrino.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know, right? Apple and peach, why not?
That sounds delicious. Bits, we should have made apple bowls. Oh my God. We had the opportunity to do the funniest thing ever and we didn't.
I mean, Vinny took it, so.
But please. Okay. Please let us know, was this your first Apple Bowl?
So it's kind of funny because I kind of associated that David Zilber would probably be on the show at some point. So I was like, oh, like if he does this, like it'd be super cool to do not necessarily the same thing, but always using it as a vessel, because they did something kind of similar at NoMa, which is where I met him. And then I did it, and then he's the judge on the next challenge. And I was like, all right, well, here we go.
Yo, you should have been here yesterday. He would have loved it.
You're a day late, buddy.
Oh, my God. That's crazy. Goodness.
You just made such a splash, episode one, in like the first moment with Apple Bowl, that we knew that your time on Top Chef was going to be nothing but entertaining.
I was expecting people to go a little bit harder from the start. That was the thing. Like, everyone got here, it's the first day, and I was like, all right, the first day is like the time to like step up, at least for me. Maybe I'm wrong by the looks of it. And like, as we all kind of settled, it was the whole back and forth on, like, I did not feel comfortable just putting soup in a bowl.
Right.
I mean, sure, is it a delicious soup? Yeah, but people seem to forget that the reason I was so pushy was the challenge was centered around the ingredient that you selected. So it's really easy to be like, hey, like, we're okay with the soup, we have a corn soup with a tomato garnish, when I'm the one that has an apple and there's zero apple anywhere in the dish. So
how about them apples?
Exactly. I think the reason I got so pushy, because it was my way to be like, hey, this is the ingredient I selected, this is how I'm incorporating it, this is why. And then the whole, like, take the apple bowl, smoke it with applewood chips. It was like, there's a little bit more reason behind it.
Well, in that vein, did you feel like, because clearly apple bowl was an uncompromising maneuver, as the season progressed, did you feel yourself compromising more? Did you feel like you kind of held the line in terms of what your point of view was or what your decision was for the dish? Because we got a lot of team and like pair challenges this season too.
I mean, I feel like a lot of what wasn't shown was there definitely was a lot more dialogue during team challenges just on what we couldn't do. And I mean, there wasn't, for the most part, outside of the Apple stuff, like there wasn't anything I was really doing unless my team was comfortable with. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I'm used to team settings. It's like, hey guys, like you feel comfortable, we're going to do this. And like, if you're not, I'm not. And that's like everywhere from the brunch challenge to restaurant wars. Everything was a dialogue. Obviously, I'm going to push for myself as much as I can, but at a certain point, you know, you got to do for the greater good of a team. And that's just like how it is. You know, there's some stuff you have to put your foot down and really like express yourself. But, you know, if it's outside of the realm of what the team is comfortable doing, then you don't necessarily.
Yeah.
It's so interesting to see the dynamics between the chefs on the show who are coming from different backgrounds, but we have tons of things we want to ask about your experience on Top Chef. But before that, we want to just dig in a little bit to the early years of Vincenzo. We know that you have this incredible resume, but talk to us about actually how you got to the point where you were performing at this really high clip. And what, because we didn't really get this on the show, like what drew you to cooking in the first place?
Yeah, starting out, I mean, Italian family, always been around food between my mom, my grandparents. So that's always kind of something I've been used to. I think it really kind of came full circle when I think I was 14, 15, my middle brother, he kind of was like, hey, like, do you want to come work with me? He worked at a butcher shop at the time. So I started working with him at the butcher shop. It was great. We had a lot of fun with people. We look similar enough. We sound similar enough. We would definitely fuck with the people like ordering because they just didn't know. And it'd be like, oh, what'd you order? And then like, I would walk in and be like, what else do you need? And they're like, didn't I just tell you what I needed? And be like, but then my oldest brother was going to vocational school for like carpentry and they had like a culinary program there. And he's like, hey, like, I think you should check it out. And suggested it. I did. And I know I just really liked it. And then kind of just went to culinary school and here I am.
Damn.
Love it. I have always secretly wanted to open a butcher shop.
It's never too late.
It's you know what it is.
You go tell your manager I've had enough of your shit. I'm opening a butcher shop.
You will be my first call when that happens. Because I will have gotten my ass fired. But
well, we do have a butcher shop at our new property we're opening. So well, if you submit your resume, I'll put it in. Understudy butcher shop. I'll get you there.
Fabulous. Okay. We'll take this offline as we like to say.
Yeah, and we're gonna come back to the new we're coming back to the new location as well. But okay. Boku's Door. This also was something that we just skipped right on over. I actually don't think I even realized this until we were preparing for this interview. Wow, that's wild. And also, how did that experience compare with Top Chef? You've now done like two insanely high caliber cooking. I won't even say competition because that like that I guess that it is a competition, but like, you know, it's more than that. I don't know. Yeah. So it's a vibe.
Yeah, my time with Bocuse, obviously, that's always what I've been drawn to, is the high end, very technical, super beautiful, intricate stuff. Comparative to Top Chef, they're completely different worlds. Obviously, they have their similarities. Where Top Chef, you're down and dirty, like you're just throwing yourself into it. You're cooking, you're on a timer. So there's also timers with the Bocuse door. The bigger difference is everything's pre-planned. So you have a pre-planned like kind of menu with everything that you're doing. So you know what you're doing prior to the actual competition. Top Chef, it's here, you're going to go to a French bodega and make an Uncrustable. Like,
as one does. Well, so, I mean, they're obviously very different, but why do you think you personally have just gravitated towards this way of expressing yourself culinarily?
Yeah, I mean, my mom is an artist and everything growing up was centered around art and she had all these art books I would always kind of flip through. So I think naturally I get it from my mom having that artistic eye. But in culinary school, I actually saw one of the selections for the Boku store. And I think after seeing that, that's what kind of like put me on to like, hey, like go after these kind of restaurants, go after this kind of food. It just was very, very satisfying.
Do you feel like there are there things that you take from cooking? Maybe this is a meta question for both Top Chef and Bocuse d'Or. Are there skills, are there things that you've taken from either of those experiences that have maybe fundamentally changed you as a chef? Or do you feel like these are kind of once in a lifetime blips, but there's a different way of approaching them than you would a typical, you know, running a typical restaurant?
Yeah, they're definitely polar opposites. So like the day to day, at least in restaurants that I'm used to working at, Bocuse d'Or, you're working like every day for months and years on end, just for one day. Top Chef, you're just isolated in a place with people you've never met before and just cooking food based on what you're given and you got to figure it out. Neither of those are realistic in a restaurant setting, depending on the restaurant. I mean, maybe not a realistic for me. You know, typically if I'm developing a dish for the restaurant, I'm spending weeks or months on it, not 30 seconds and then going.
Send it. Yeah. Have you ever done that? Have you ever just been like, oh shit, you know, we're out of an ingredient or we need a hard pivot for tonight, and you know, just having to choose a plate on the fly, or is that just completely unheard of?
So in my time at Nomad and Madison Park, we actually had designated people. They were called Dreamweavers. So we would always have, like, if someone came in and mentioned like something ridiculous, we would go to crazy extents to try to, like, not necessarily accommodate, but surprise them with it. You know, like, there's a whole article like Will Gadara wrote, and it's like this whole thing where, you know, people came to the restaurant, it snowed in New York City for the first time, and they never got to experience snow. So they hired drivers, they bought sleds, and after their meal, like, brought them to Central Park to go sledding. So that wasn't food related, but for the most part, I was always the designated culinary representative for the Dreamweavers. So whenever they needed something ridiculous to cater to someone that came in that mentioned something, I was usually the person that had to think on the fly and figure it out.
Okay, we have to ask, what was one of the most memorable dreams you wove?
Oh my God. I've done like a Korean barbecue thing because someone cracked a joke. This was actually at the Nomad. They were like, I hope the food's not super small and dainty, otherwise I'm going to leave hungry. I'm going to have to go to Koreatown after this. So we made like a whole K-Town spread of just like grilled meats and pickles and banchan. But I've done like taco things. Yeah, it's like miscellaneous popcorn on the fly. Some crazy things, yeah.
Okay, that's cuckoo bananas.
Speechless. I thought I had heard it all in these interviews, but that is so cool. Yeah. Is that like a special honor to have that role in the kitchen? Is,
I mean,
it something that rotates?
It's usually just because I was the one that was always willing to put myself in the shits to do something. By no means does anyone have the time to do this, but I was like, I'll do it.
That's like the nicest F you ever. Like, oh, you hungry? That's pretty great.
Have some Korean barbecue.
Yeah.
That's incredible. So, I mean, something I will say is that you came across, like, from day one with the dimples and all of it, as this incredibly nice and fun and interesting guy. And so it sounds like you really enjoy doing that in your cooking and it really comes through. But what is something that you really want to make sure people know about your style of cooking as an individual and not just as part of the assembly line of one of these really prestigious restaurants?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely like to have fun with my food. I wish they showed him more. Me and Cesar definitely talked about some crazy stuff while on the show. Me and him were just like always talking about like different food, different ideas, and just like craziness. It's hard to, I would say, like kind of insert that into the four walls of Top Chef, because some things are just too specific and you can't really do it. But yeah, I definitely like to have fun with like different flavors, different cuisines. I wouldn't really tie myself down to like a specific cuisine, per se, as some people might think that I'm all about Italian food and things like that, or strictly Nomad food, if that categorizes as a type of food. But yeah, it definitely goes beyond that.
Love that. So even obviously you have a pretty firm grasp on who you are, what's important to you. Was there anything that surprised you about your time on Top Chef, like either your approach as a chef, or did it unlock anything in you that you were surprised?
I think two things. One, I didn't expect to develop as much of a relationship with everyone on the show. You know, like you see this and you're like, it's a competition, like, no, screw everyone but me. And like, it was not like that at all. But as far as the food, I mean, reflecting back, I think it's one of those things, like I said, I mean, when your back's to the wall and you have time restraints, you're always going to resort back to cuisine and techniques and food that you're familiar with and try to make it fit. And it's kind of what I've always done. You know, like I just wrote a piece and I kind of mentioned that as well, where not that I don't necessarily have a culinary identity. I think I'm still trying to fully define it because, I mean, at this point, I've only worked for other people. And is there my food on the menu? Yeah, sure. Right. But it's always kind of creating the food through someone else's lens in a way. So it's kind of trying to create that kind of imagery for myself.
I love that. And yeah, it is about exploring and experimenting.
Just like college.
Just like college, but with food. To that end, was there anything crazy or just surprising that you brought with you onto Top Chef in your box, like of supplies or ingredients that you did or didn't get to
something
use?
Tells me there's something weird in your box.
I wouldn't say weird. Something that made me very popular with the other people, I will say. I brought an entire box of gelatin.
Because
I heard and saw that there's never sheets of gelatin anywhere. So anyone that wanted to use gelatin always kind of came to me. I probably spent like $3,000 or $4,000 in like new tools. I was like, this is an opportunity to invest in myself and buy all the fun shit that I want. Right. So I went and bought all the fun stuff. And I remember the first day, like, they give you the bin and you have to pack everything into this bin and that's your bin. And like, I bought the exact same bin, practice everything at home. And like, I overflowed this and they're like, are you sure you're going to fit everything in there? And I was like, watch. And like, I filled in, they're like, I'm going to be completely honest. I did not expect you to be able to do that. But it was like filled to the brim, like tight, everything, like you name a tool, it's in there.
Oh, wait, so it's wise, just whatever like, fit in the box. It wasn't even like a numerical limit.
No.
Oh,
other than, I mean, your ingredients, you're limited, but non-perishables. But yeah,
what
I brought
kind of ingredients you got in there? Yeah.
What'd I bring? Lemon oil, chili oil, vadovan, harissa, gelatin.
Are you procuring all of this in like one fell sweep? Or are you kind of... Over months, kind of just slowly packing that box.
I mean, I didn't have much time. I was running a restaurant simultaneously.
You're just in a cave training, filling.
Are
up
you yes. really good at packing a trunk with luggage?
I have my entire. It's kind of become my designated like kitchen gear bag for like if we're flying anywhere. But I have I paintball quite a bit, so I have this like paintball rolly gear bag, and it's got like these dividers and everything in it, and it's like amazing for it. So now like anything, I pack all the tools in nice organized rows, and it's pretty amazing.
The layers of Vincenzo Liceto that we are getting on this podcast are out of this world. I thought we got like, you know, the good stuff on TV, but this is even better.
There's
wait, what was your first experience paintballing? Why has that stuck with you?
I think it's like I was 10 and like I went with my dad and my brothers, and I think they just brought me so they could shoot me a bunch, but and then it became that thing. It became really expensive, and then you get back into it when you start making money again. And then like, and I played like national events with like a bunch of friends, but it was a good time.
Oh my god, okay, this is bonkers. This is bonkers.
We gotta start asking these chefs about their hobbies, because this is opening up a whole new world.
I got a lot of hobbies.
Wait, lay one more on us.
I was waiting for the hunting challenge, even though that would never happen. I'd be like, you guys are going to go into woods and climb a tree and sit there for 12 hours. You can use like the fishing challenge they did. And be like, and whatever you shoot, you're allowed to cook. And I'd be like, all right, sick. Can I bring my bow?
my mom still is like a little bit, oh, I don't know, a Top Chef. Because of that fishing challenge. She has now taken that specific challenge from whatever season and just made this overgeneralization that like top now they have to like fish for their food. I don't know. It just got so silly. I'm like that they did that one time. Like
they did that one time so Tom could go on a boat. Obviously. Yes.
we do believe that Tom just constructs challenges so that he can be on the water on a boat.
It's not a bad idea. I mean, if I had that power, I'd probably do the exact same thing.
Well, you 100%. Got to go to Niagara Falls, which looked wet and wild.
Just to be clear, I got waterboarded on national television. There's a difference.
Yeah,
no,
it
was great.
Fun?
It was
like,
a lot of fun.
Is Niagara Falls fun?
Like, no, it definitely is. It's like you have to be prepared. Like if we didn't show up with like a change of clothes, it probably would have been pretty miserable. But it's like it's super beautiful. It's a good time. You know, like is it a lot of water? Yes. But it's like, it is very peaceful. I mean, I grew up on the water my entire life, so being around water, being in water is very like peaceful for me. So I was here for it. I think a few Massimo was loving it. He was like spaced out, like enjoying life beyond belief. On
yeah, that was
on
a good one.
But it was a good time.
Oh my God. I love that. Yeah, I mean, to your earlier point too on just like the things that surprised you, just the the unit that is this season. This has just been such a fun season to watch, and I think it's just 100% to do with the chefs, with you guys. So, thanks for making some good TV.
Oh, thanks.
I think, you know, as you move into this next chapter, and we'd love to hear like what's next for you. But with that, with whatever is coming next, what is it that you want people to take away from your cooking when they enjoy it?
I mean, ultimately, I always try to find some way to like revoke emotion. Like a lot of the food, it's about either trips I've taken, ways to connect to people, you know, flavors that they might not necessarily be used to. That's like kind of the biggest thing. But yeah, I mean, like I said, it's hard to really convey that on the show with like all your limitations and the things you're trying to do. I definitely struggle to do that. I know Tristan was definitely amazing at doing that. But he's like, yeah, he's extremely well traveled. So I think he's pretty good at conveying that. I definitely was not.
Don't be so hard on yourself.
Yeah. Well,
I'm very hard on myself.
Don't talk about our friend like that.
Seriously.
Well, looking to the future, we heard a little bit about a new venture understudy. We'd love to hear more though, because our curiosity has piqued.
Absolutely. Yeah. So obviously we have Press Restaurant, the property next door, closed down, and we had the opportunity to kind of take it over, and the front portion was turned into a museum, not necessarily ours. And then the back portion is going to be understudy, which is opening, a week from, or less than a week. I think it's like 5 days away next Monday. But it's going to be this more playful, fun, colorful kind of place. It's gonna be like a bakery cafe, kind of over the counter, like tapas style, if you will. As well as kind of a fish and meat counter with cheeses and charcuterie. And then a little down the road, we'll have like kind of a culinary, you know, teaching kitchen, if you will, where we can either hold like lectures, instructional things, wine tastings, above and beyond. And then once we finish all that, we'll finish the renovation for Press Restaurant as well and get a brand new kitchen over there too.
Oof, lots happening. Oh my
lots
goodness.
Lots of things happening.
We got to book a trip to Napa, Bits.
Yeah.
Come on out.
Oh, my God. That sounds incredible. Well, Vinny, thank you so much for your time today. It was such a pleasure chatting with you and learning about your hobbies.
More enjoyable than I ever thought you could be, and I already thought you were going to be awesome. I just need to say.
I try. I mean, it's one of those things. When you get to know me or you actually experience me, it's not what you think.
Well, that's
I could be pretty stern. I could be pretty stern. But there's definitely many sides to me.
What? Okay. I said I was ending, but maybe I'm not.
Psych.
It is interesting, right? Because this is the first time I'm assuming you were on TV. What was that? I mean, what was that experience even like now? Like watching that season back with everybody else. Did they get Vinny right? Were you surprised by the Vinny you saw?
They got some parts right.
Yeah.
But I think it's just I didn't get an opportunity to show some of the other parts.
Yeah. the paintball challenge, I think I heard, is in the finale. So
that'd be sick. I'll come back for that.
Yeah, and there, everybody has to make things out of fruit.
Well, you know, we are big on the campaign of Vinny in Top Chef All Stars. So we are, whatever we can do to help you in that endeavor, please let us know. We are nobody.
I don't know how it works, but speak up.
We don't either. Amazing.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We are huge fans. We are so excited for everything you have coming down the line. And we look forward to following all of your success.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, appreciate you both having me. And it's great to chat.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Take care.